The Johnson Wax Program. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's self-polishing glow coat present Fibber McGee and Company with Jim Jordan as Fibber, Donald Novis, the Four Notes, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Anything Goes. Upstairs and downstairs, all through the house, your floors and linoleum need the protection of Johnson's self-polishing glow coat. That is, if you want them to stay beautiful as new, easy to care for. Glow coat gives a shield of bright protection to painted or varnished wood floors, to inlaid and printed linoleum. Dirt cannot become embedded in this shining polish. Think what this means to you. No more wearisome floor scrubbing. No more drab, soiled floors. And even a child can apply glow coat and get satisfactory results. For this remarkable no-rubbing polish never streaks or smears. Simply spread some of the liquid lightly over the surface, let it dry for 20 minutes, and you'll have lovely polished floors without any rubbing or buffing. Ask your dealer tomorrow for glow coat, GLO-COAT. Johnson self-polishing glow coat. Has decided to hold its winter army maneuvers and war games in West Povista this year, and the whole town is in a martial zither. And here approaching the headquarters of the commandant to offer his services as military advisor, we find Fibber, Lafayette, where are we, McGee?
Behind the plow, the uniform's it.
Halt! Who goes there?
Oh, hi, bud. What was the question?
I said, who goes there?
I ain't going. I'm coming.
Oh, excuse me. Come ahead, then.
Thanks. Which way is the commander's tent, bud?
It's the big one over there with the American flag over it.
Oh, thanks. I'll go. Hey, that flag's upside down. That's a distress signal.
Yeah, I know. The general had lobster and ice cream for dinner last night.
He ought to keep his troubles to himself. When I was a general in the army, I had a flag tattooed on my stomach. Then when I got upset, my distress signals was flew in fright. How much obliged, bud.
Okay.
Oh, you're in the army now. You're not behind the plow. You'll never get rich. You'll sleep in a ditch. You're in the... Hey, bud. Is the general in?
Yes, but he's busy with the chief of the cavalry.
Oh, I see. Probably picking some winners at Hialeah. Well, tell him Major McGee retired. Is here to see him.
Yes, sir.
Ah, the good old army. Them was the golden days. Gold braid on the arm, gold fish for dinner, and gold bricking all day long.
Come in, Major McGee.
Okay, bud. Well, nice of him to put that door on this tent. Otherwise, nobody could tell I was entering. Hi, General.
Good day. Did I understand the sentry to say that you were a retired officer, Mr.
McGee, bud. Fibber McGee. Late Major of the U.S. Marines, Air Service, Tank Corps, Cavalry, Engineers, Infantry, and all stuff like that there.
How about intelligence?
Oh, enough to get by.
Yeah, that's very good, yes. Major. This is Colonel Hackamore of our cavalry unit.
Oh, hi, Colonel. Didn't we meet at old Fort Blunder in the Mexican campaign?
I was never assigned to Fort Blunder.
Neither was I. It's a small world, ain't it?
Excuse me, Major McGee, but we're in the midst of planning our maneuvers, and we're very busy.
Oh, that's okay, General. The reason I come in is I thought you might want a military advisor, somebody familiar with the local territory.
Well,
now, for instance, suppose you planned an attack on the opposing forces and marched across town to take them in the flank. Now, you wouldn't want to find your advance guard smack dab up against the brewery or something.
The fellow has something there, General.
Yes, yes. A very interesting thought, very interesting. You say you're a retired Major McGee?
Yes, they retired me for insubordination.
Is that so? What did you do?
Well, one of the mules died, and they gave it a military funeral. They made all the officers face east while they played taps, and I wouldn't do it. I faced the other way.
Well, why did you refuse to face east?
I'm a West Pointer.
What campaign did you serve in, Major McGee?
Well, I served in Mexico, General. Pershing put me in personal charge of catching that Mexican bandit.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did he happen to do that?
Well, a bunch of us officers was whooping it up at a soda fountain down on the border one night. And the soda jerk says, "What'll you have, gents?" And I says, "I'll take vanilla." Well, Pershing heard me and thought he thought I said, "I'll take Villa." So, he gave me the job.
Sounds like just the man we need for the local maneuvers, General.
I think so myself, Colonel.
You're familiar with modern tactics, Major?
Am I? Why, shucks, fellas. I was a master of military tactics when I was just a kid. Why, officers from all over the world used to come to our house to watch me play with my toy soldiers on the carpet. Carpet Tactics McGee, I was known as in them days. Carpet Tactics McGee, the calm and courageous captain of cavalry, quick to calculate a campaign to keep cruel killers from coming over and conquering our continent with crashing cannon, continually quizzing captives to collect confessions that could keep us coping with their conniving cohorts, and the keenest kid cracking codes from the clattering caissons of Camp Custer to the clean-cut filthies of Cold Caledonia.
Oh, that's splendid, splendid. I think you're just the local contact we need, Major. Suppose you wait here in my tent while the Colonel and I check our supplies.
Okay, but...
Come, Colonel.
I do, General.
Well, here I am in the Army again, and I didn't even have to call. Now, let's see. Come in. Well, what do you want, sir?
I'm a nurse in the hospital unit, sir.
Well, then why ain't you in uniform?
I'm supposed to be on leave of absence, sir. Now they want to cancel my leave during these maneuvers. Please don't let them.
Now, what's your name, sis?
Adams, sir. Eve Adams.
Eve, eh? Oh, well, quit worrying, sis. Nobody named Eve could have her leave canceled during winter maneuvers.
Thank you.
Now, let's see. I guess I better glance over these papers. Commandant's headquarters, Major McGee speaking. What's that about? Is that so? Well, send up 5 airplanes and have them spray the camp with paint remover. Fine army. They camouflage 3 ammunition trucks so good they can't find them again.
Lieutenant Novus reporting, sir.
Oh, hi, Don. What you want?
May I have a furlough, sir?
Listen, Don, according to these papers, you're the 14th lieutenant that's asked for furlough in a period of 2 days.
Interesting period, wasn't it?
What was?
Louis the 14th.
How does Army life agree with you, Don? You're looking very well.
Oh, I feel swell, sir. We're very exhilarated. In fact, I'm so happy I could sing Only a Rose in a few minutes.
Pretty clumsy introduction, but we got it in, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Lieutenant Novus. Only a Rose.
Red rose out of the west.
that rendezvous. I'll bring along a smile or a song for anyone. Only a
great, Don. And that Billy Mills compliment was very good, too. I'll see that you boys get... Commandant's headquarters. Major McGee speaking. Oh, hi, Billy. Yes, I did. That was a beautiful accompaniment. What? What do you mean you want a promotion? What are you now, Mills? A major general? No, I'm sorry, Billy. I can't do it. Well, we just can't, that's all. This is the Johnson Wax program. How would it sound if we had a musical number presented by General Mills? All the dumb clucks I ever saw.
Hello there, Johnny! Need any new recruits?
Nope, I don't believe so, old-timer.
Hey!
I says, no, we got all the soldiers we need. Though I can understand why living in a pup tent would appeal to an old Airedale like you.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one fella says to the other fella, see where them southern planters are worried about the big cotton surplus. That so, says t'other fella. Why don't you get all the gals to wear cotton stockings? Can't do it, says the first fella. That way, both the cotton and the gal would be out on a limb. Just goes to show, Johnny, why gals like silk. It just goes to show.
Well, Moss back. Imagine that old fossil talking about silk stockings. Well, I guess the guy's only as old as he looks. Apparently, he still looks. Guess I better go out and inspect the camp. So I don't know what's going on. Oh, you're in the army now. You're not behind the plow. You'll never... Oh, ho, there, soldier. Oh, gooey pooey. Where are you going with that suitcase?
I'm on the morning. Me just a guy to fire from army.
Oh. Just got fired from the army, eh? What for?
Well, me camp a cook, see?
Uh-huh.
And me serve him hot dog for lunch. And me was out of mustard.
So what?
So me got mustard out.
Oh, I see. Was you a cook in civilian life, Gooey Pooey?
Oh, sure.
Can you take short orders?
Uh-huh, can do.
Okay, slam.
Oh,
you're in the army now. Hey, what'd he call me? You're not behind the plow. You'll never get rid of
it. Oh, how do you do, Miss McGee?
Oh, hi, Mrs. Uppington. What you doing in this army camp?
Oh, I'm arranging a little dinner party, Miss McGee, for some of the officers. The higher officers, of course.
Ooh, yes. The higher officers.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, Zuppy, gold braid is where you find it.
Yes. Yes, but I think it would be such a distinguished gathering. So military, you know. And it would be such a feast for them, too, Miss McGee, to meet in nice, clean, wholesome surroundings. Don't you think so, really?
What do you mean, Uppy? Why, there's nothing cleaner than an officer's dining tent.
Oh, but, Mr. McGee, when I made inquiries, I was told the officers were used to eating in their own mess. I was quite shocked, really, I was.
Now, wait a minute, Uppy. Mess is just another name for a dining room in the service.
Oh, really? Oh, sure. Oh, that
is good,
Holland. Really? Oh, dear. Well, anyway, if they do come, Mr. McGee, I hope they don't wear their paws and furs, because they're liable to get jingled. Oh, dear, She won't think I've just been a silly girl running out for a uniform. Well, goodbye. Goodbye, Mr.
After knowing a few society dames like her, it's easy to figure out how you get such a cold, damp handshake from them. They spend so much time in finger bowls. Oh, well, it's an
Hi, Fibber.
Oh, hi, Harpo. What you doing riding around in that tank?
Oh, I'm in the tank corps. Haven't you heard?
Why, no. What experience have you had with tanks?
Who, me?
Why, sure.
Why, after all these years... Okay, along. Why, after all these years of telling housewives how Johnson's glow coat will save them hours of housework, because it requires no rubbing or buffing, why, I've handled millions of tanks.
You have?
Tanks for telling them how to restore floors and linoleum. Tanks for making housework so easy. Tanks for the economical way of buying glow coat in the larger sizes. Tanks for making...
Harpo.
Huh?
If you don't mind my criticism, that commercial clanks worse than the tank.
Well, that's gratitude for you. Here I go and get all greasy and bruised up for nothing. Okay, pal.
I'd have had him tossed in the guardhouse, only he'd have busted out with something about guarding houses against Mars and scratches with Johnson's waxes. If he ain't the most...
Well, hello there, Peter.
Oh, Nick DePopulos.
Hi, Nick. What is this unfounded rumors I'm hearing about you being a military advisory to the general staff? Or am I labeling under Miss Apple Dumpling?
No, that's correct, Nick. Say, what you doing here?
Oh, I'm coming down here for a visit with an old friend of mine, Fizzer. He's a brigamoose.
Brigamoose? Oh, you mean a brigadier.
I stand connected. Anyway, I'm being very enthusiastic about military things, Fizzer.
Oh, that's so?
I think it is being because I'm being a Greek people, and Greek people are always being ready to fight at the drop of a hat falling down.
Yeah, the Greeks have quite a warlike history, haven't they? Wasn't Helen of Troy...
Oh, sure. Helen of Troy was quite a cupid, Fizzer. He had a port which is shipping 1,000 launches.
You mean she launched 1,000 ships?
Have it my way. She was a very hysterical character, too. I'm reading a literary book about her last night, and it seems she's having a boyfriend who's calling himself by the name of Perry. You're probably not knowing about that, Fizzer. If you would read more, you wouldn't be so illegitimate.
You mean illiterate.
Why not? Anyway, this Paris Squeezy is making a play for this Helen Cupid. You grab me?
Uh-huh.
And as little totem of her esteem, she is giving him a golden apple.
Yeah, I know all about the golden
apple. And that is setting the president, Fizzer, because ever since those times, you will find the Greek people owning a fruit stand. Well, so long, Fizzer. I'll see you later if I don't look out.
The trouble with that guy is he tried to cross an unabridged dictionary and fell in. Well, I better get on with this.
Oh, there, Major McGee. We were looking for you.
Oh, hi, General. What's up?
Well, we're planning our campaign, Major. Just step into my tent, please.
Okay.
There you are. Now, here's our problem, Major.
Uh-huh.
We're dividing the army into two forces, the red and the blue. Here, take a look at my map.
I have been. You need a shave, bud.
No, I mean this military map. Now, you say that you're familiar with the local terrain.
Why, shucks, General. I know this country like the back of my hand, with mittens on. What do you want to know, bud?
Here's the problem.
Uh-huh.
I propose to deploy the Red Forces in this area here. Machine gun emplacements here, a flanking movement here by this wooded patch, mm-hmm. Then the cavalry and the motorized units will come this way.
Oh, you're getting this all wrong, bud. Here. Let me take that map. Give me a pencil. Sit down and relax. I'll figure out the tactics for you. Have a cigar?
Yeah, thanks, I have one.
You got two? Now, here's the way to go. You put your infantry here, bring the tanks up here, engineers over here, and then when you come around this way, presto, hemmed in. Simple, ain't it?
Yes, it seems very simple.
Why, sure.
Thank you, Major. I believe that solves the whole problem. You certainly know this country, don't you?
Oh, I'll say so. Only thing that puzzles me on this map is this hill over here to the north. I never knew that was there.
That's my finger.
Oh. Yeah. Well, good luck, General.
Thank you, my boy. The maneuvers will start immediately. I'll issue the orders right away.
Okay, General. And just to get your men into a fighting mood, get them into a real military pitch of excitement, I'll have Major General Mills play something really stirring. What you got there, Major General Mills? Patty cake, patty cake. Patty cake, patty cake. Won't this infantry ever grow up? Well, go ahead, men. Patty cake with the four notes. That was the four notes, folks, singing Patty Cake, accompanied by butcher's man, Billy Mills. Nice caking, Patty.
My name's Marjorie.
Oh, yeah. Well, you kids better go climb into a dugout someplace. There's a war about to start around here, and I don't want any of you to get hurt.
Ah, there, my boy. Are you the officer of the day?
But I'm not only the officer of the day, I'm the man of the hour and chief of the minute men. Sit down, and I'll split a second with you. By the way, ain't you Horatio K. Boomer?
In the flesh, my boy. In the lovely, quivering flesh. have here an article which should be of great interest to every Army officer in this great and glorious land of freedom. The land where...
Okay, get to the point, Boomer. What you got?
A Sam Brown belt with a roller skate attachment. You've heard the old aphorism, I have no doubt, that an army marches on its stomach. And this remarkable device will enable regiment after regiment to skim across hill and dale with a minimum amount of wear and tear on the bosom. Now, this article...
Listen, Boomer, you can't sell anything to this army unless you got authorization from the War Department.
Ah, yes, authorization. I'm glad to show it to you, Rabbit Nose. Very happy to. Let me see now. Authorization. Where to put that authorization? Here's a small rat tail file. Tried to give it to a friend of mine, but the warden smelled a mouse. Autograph photo, Teddy Lamar. Wrote it myself. Was afraid she couldn't spell Horatio. Package of $20 bills. Don't touch them, they're not quite dry yet. A false mustache with a slight sneer. And a check for a short beer. Well, no authorization. Imagine that. Could have sworn I had it with me. At least I could have sworn when you asked for it. Well, I'll be back some other time, Cashew. Right now, I have to run back to my hotel while it's still light enough to locate the fire escape.
That guy ever did have authorization. It must have been from the Secretary of the Ulterior.
Uh-oh. The war started.
Somebody shot the bugler. That's the most intelligent beginning of a war I ever heard. Pretty short war. I wonder what happened to that guy. Why did he...
Hurry it, Ben! Put him under arrest!
Who, me? What did I do?
And you told me you were an authority on military tactics.
Well?
An authority on local geography. Throw him in the guardhouse, Ben. Now, wait a minute. I have a better idea.
Hey, what is this? Did something go wrong, General?
McGee, do you know what you've done?
Well, now, let me think.
I'll tell you.
Huh?
You sent our tanks through a swamp. You sent our cavalry swimming across a four-mile lake. The infantry fell in a drainage canal. Our machine gun emplacement was run over by passing freight trains. And our entire division was cornered in a dead-end street.
Well, the dead-end kid.
It's treason, McGee. That's what it is. Blindfold him in.
Wait a minute.
Kick him.
Hey, let go of me.
Quiet, you. Take him out and stand him with his back to the wall.
Hey, you can't do this to me.
Come on, you.
I'm an American citizen, and I demand a trial. You can't
Quiet.
Do that.
You're a military officer and subject to military discipline. Where's the firing squad?
Here they come, General.
What? Oh! You have a final cigarette, McGee?
You better send for a carton, Bud. I'm a chain smoker. But listen, you can't do this to me. I'm a
pilot. Enough of this. Firing squad, attention!
Oh, now listen, I didn't mean to do nothing. I was...
When I drop this handkerchief, fire. One.
Oh. Two. Oh, please, don't do this.
Fire!
Major McGee, your services are no longer required.
We'll be back in just a moment. But now I have a very special announcement to make, so listen carefully. For a limited time only, in fact, only as long as they last, your dealer is featuring special giant-sized packages of Johnson's self-polishing glow coat and Johnson's wax. These giant sizes contain one-third more than the regular sizes. Now, while they last, you can buy them at the same price as the regular sizes. In other words, you get one-third free. But you must hurry, because the supply of these giant-sized packages is strictly limited, and when they're gone, there won't be any more. Remember, you can have your choice of Johnson's self-polishing glow coat, or Johnson's wax paste or liquid, or you can buy all three. You pay only for 1 pint or 1 pound. The one-third extra is yours free. An extra dividend from Johnson to thank you for your loyalty to Johnson products. But see your dealer right away. Don't wait, or these giant sizes will be sold out.
Folks, in our move to Hollywood, we regret very much that we had to lose our old friend Philly Watson for the time being, but because of previous commitments, he couldn't make the trip with us now. Although we hope he'll be back with us soon.
Say, Fibber.
What, Harpo?
Is it true that we're going to have Zazu Pitts on our show again next week?
Yes, it is, Harpo. I thought as long as this program tonight was full of cannons and shooting and stuff, kind of fortissimo, that next week we ought to go a little pizzicato. Good night, folks.
Thank you.
is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax, Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, Racine, Wisconsin, inviting you all to be with us again next week. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.